All right, I invite you tonight to turn back to the book of James, chapter number 1. Book of James, chapter number 1. And when continuing a message that we began last week, be a doer, not just a hearer. Last week we looked at one of the first two points, really just two points in the message. First point was to hear, not obey, leads to self-deception. We said that those who are hearers only of the word and not doers, they may see a problem, but they don't fix it. They forget what they heard, and when in the process, they end up deceiving themselves. Now, tonight, we want to look at to hear and obey leads to blessing. Let's read the whole from verse 22 through 27. We're just going to be dealing with verse 25 and 27, but I want us to get the context here. Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So, we want to see tonight, to hear and obey leads to blessing. I want us to note four things here in verse 25 and 27. First of all, we see the blessed hearer and doer looks intently at the word. Notice there in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." Looketh. The word implies that he gives it more than just a quick glance. He looks intently at it. He puts some effort into it. He studies it, at it. He doesn't look at it as being fast food that's to be eaten and forgotten. He looks at it as a gourmet meal to be eaten and remembered. The word translated "looketh" there in verse 25 actually means to stoop carefully, to stoop and look carefully at something. In fact, it's the same word that was used of John and Mary stooping down to look carefully into the empty tomb after the resurrection. It's used in John chapter number 20, verse 5 and verse 11. I don't believe that look that they, when they looked in that tomb, I don't believe it was just a casual look. Do you? It was more than just a quick look or a glance. They peered carefully in the tomb, trying to see if the body of Jesus was inside. Now, the same word is also used by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:12, talking about the angels desiring to look in the matters of our salvation. Remember the verse that says in 1 Peter 1:12, says, "Which things the angels desire to look into." That "look into" is the same word there. And what we see here isn't the quick glance in the mirror of a guy. Those guys are real good about just giving it the once over. Amen. Just quickly looking in there. Yep, everything looks okay. And we're gone. But rather, it's the careful look in the mirror of a woman who not only notices a blemish or spot or something not quite right, but she also takes the time to carefully correct the problem. Ladies are different in front of the mirror, aren't they? And they take their time on the issue. But it's like Yogi Berra once said. He said, "You can see a lot just by looking." Now, I know that sounds funny. Yogi Berra was known for all of his funny sayings and all, but they made sense. It was common sense stuff. You can see a lot just by looking. And that's true of Bible study also. I've often read a passage many times but missed something that seems so obvious that once I see it, I say, "Man, how in the world did I miss that?" Has that ever happened to you? You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, do you truly study the word in a way that God would approve of, or are you just guilty of giving it a quick glance, you know, instead? The word study there means to put forth earnest effort. It takes work to study. I can attest to that. Proper study takes work. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:12, and I come home a lot of times and I quote this verse to my wife. When I had a long day studying in the office, I would come home and I would say, much study is the weariness of the flesh, because I'm tired. I'm wasted after studying and digging into Scripture. It'll wear you out. But we ought to want to take and study the Word of God and come to a greater understanding of what God's Word says. So the blessed hearer and doer looks intently at the Word. Second thing I want us to see is the blessed hearer and doer applies the Word not just to his outward behavior, but to his heart. Notice there at verse 25 again. He said, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, note how the terminology changes. The terminology changes there in verse 25. Up until now, James mentioned the word. I mean, he calls it the word in verse 18, verse 21, verse 22, and verse 23. But now he refers to it as the perfect law of liberty. Now, why is that? Well, he's talking to readers with a Jewish mindset. That was who his initial readers were of this. And they were Jewish believers, but they had a certain mindset. Remember the passage that we read last week in Isaiah 1, verses 11 through 20, as we were getting down to the end, how that the Jews were going through the motions of their religion, but their heart wasn't really into it. Remember how Jesus used to get onto the Pharisees? They were the same way. James knew that his fellow Jews were prone to keep the law outwardly and go through the motions while their hearts were far from God. And let me give you that quote from Jesus in Matthew 15 and verse number 7 and 8. He said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say, Isaiah's prophecy, I'm going to get it right here in a minute. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When James calls it the perfect law of liberty, he's referring to the new covenant promised of the law written on our hearts, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to obey that which we could not obey before. So before you got saved, you couldn't keep God's law. But after you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God's help in your life to help you do the work of God from the heart. God's Word applies to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It frees us from the bondage to sin. Look with me at John chapter 8. I want you to see the freedom, and what, you know, we talked about the perfect law of liberty, and Christ is the one that gives us that liberty. We are free to obey. Before we could not obey. Now we're free to obey. John chapter 8, look at verse number 31. Verse number 31. So then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And we who have known the Lord Jesus Christ, we are free, aren't we? Praise God. So the blessed hearer and doer looks intently at the word. He applies the word not just to his outward behavior, but he looks at it as being a heart issue. A third thing that we see there in verse 25 is that the blessed hearer and doer continues applying the word to his heart. Notice there in verse 25, James added, and continueth therein. In other words, this man is not coming to the word for just a quick fix for his immediate problem, but rather he continues applying the Bible to his heart on an ongoing basis over his lifetime, his entire lifetime. He knows he needs that. How many of us know that we need that in our lives? We know it, don't we? We just do. It's a long-term approach that requires discipline and diligence to reap the benefits. Look at Psalm 1, one of my favorite psalms, the very first one that addresses this issue. And it talks about how this attitude will help us to be successful. Notice in Psalm 1, verse number 1, it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And here it is, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, something you delight in, you're not going to have to be begged to do it, are you? You're just not. I mean, and that's to be our attitude. We're to delight in God's Word. He delights in the law of the Lord. In His law doth He meditate day and night. And it says there, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. You see the blessing there? The blessing that comes from the hearer that continues applying the Word of God to his heart. It's a long-term approach. And then the fourth thing that we see is the blessed hearer and doer applies the Word so that it changes his conduct and his character in the sight of God. That is the goal. And when you come to church, you ought to want the Lord to give you something to help you change more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Our goal is to be conformed to Christ's image. And we're day by day and week by week and year by year, we're conformed more into His image as we look into the Word and we apply the Word in our hearts. There in verse 27, notice verse 27. He says, Pure religion and undefiled for God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, in contrast to the vain religion of the man we saw last week, the man in verse 26, James gives two practical examples here in verse 27 of a person who applies God's Word. Now, these two examples represent pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. Now, James says that to contrast it with the outward religion of the man who is doing it to be noticed by other men. Remember how the Lord used to get on to the Pharisees, that they were, he said, don't be like the Pharisees. You know, they're doing what they do in order to be seen. They prayed in the public places to be seen. They were drawing attention to themselves is what they were all about. Here we see that he calls God Father. here, and he calls him that God, Father here because of the reference to orphans and widows. In Psalm 68, verse 5, God is called a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. And you know, the Heavenly Father has a special concern for those that are helpless and can't provide for themselves, doesn't he? He just does. When we apply the word, it results in selfless conduct in the sight of God. Okay? It results in selfless conduct in the sight of God. The word visit here means more than just dropping in for a social call, although it would include that. It comes from the same word that is translated overseer, that describes the work of elders and pastors. It means to look out for and care for and to be concerned about. You know, God's given me to be your pastor. I've been pastor here for almost 10 years now. And part of what He called me to do is to look out for you, to care for you, to be concerned about you. But you know, He also wants us to do that one for another. To show this concern for orphans and widows requires that a person take his focus off himself and his needs and think about others and their needs. Usually there's no payback when you care for orphans and widows. These are not people that have money, are they? Just not. Back in that society, they were poor, not able to work. Well, what motivates us, or what should motivate us, to care for ones such as this? Well, we know these folks have needs, and so we apply the golden rule, don't we? And the golden rule is not those who have the gold rules. That's the world's golden rule, but the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Put yourself in their shoes. If you were an orphan or a widow, how would you want to be treated if you were in their similar situation? We do it to please God, who sent His Son so that we could be adopted into His family. Amen? And the point is that when God's Word takes root in our hearts, it shifts our focus from ourselves to other people. That's what He's trying to get at here. When we apply the Word, also it results in separated character in the sight of God. James says that pure and undefiled religion is to keep oneself unspotted from the world, is how he puts it. Unspotted from the world. Now, the world refers to the evil system that Satan's domain is composed of, and that God is opposed to. And we know that this world is dirty and it's defiling in it. When you look at the system, nothing about it is right. And God's people, we're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Look at John's Gospel, chapter number 17. John's Gospel, chapter number 17. This is the prayer that the Lord prayed prior to going to the cross. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed for those that would come after the disciples. And we're even included in this prayer that He prayed. Notice what He says there in John 17 and verse number 15. John 17 and verse number 15. He's praying to His Heavenly Father, and He says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In other words, He was praying that we wouldn't be like the world, that we would not be have the world's standards. We would not have the world's motivations. Our motivations are to be different, aren't they? Our standards are to be different. Look at verse 16. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through Thy truth. And so the Lord wants us to be sanctified through the truth of God's Word. And the way that we are sanctified is not by hearing the word, but by hearing and doing. It's not the hearing that does it, it's the obedience. And so, as God's people, be reminded that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. The answer is not to isolate ourselves in order to keep from being tainted by this evil world. We're not to build monasteries and go hole up in a monastery and cut ourselves off from the world in that way. That's not God's way of doing things. If we do that, you can't influence the world. We're to be salt and light, aren't we? Remember Jesus in Matthew's Gospel? He talked about us being salt and light there in Matthew 5. So the answer is not to isolate ourselves in order to keep from being tainted by this evil world, but instead, we are, instead of embracing the world's goals and the world's priorities and the world's values, we should be actively involved in the things which please God. Ask yourself, what does God want me to do? What is there that I should be doing that would please my Heavenly Father? And that's what he's getting at here. When he says there in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, he's giving some examples. This is not all of it, okay? But he said to visit the fatherless and widows, those that can't take, they can't repay you. They can't take care of themselves, and they certainly can't repay you. And so if you're doing it, you're going to be doing it for something other than something in return. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're to go into the world and befriend sinners as Jesus did, and yet not be stained by their evil thinking and evil deeds. Listen, we're not to be like the longtime church member who shook hands with the pastor after the service one Sunday morning. It wasn't me, by the way. But he told the pastor, said, that was a wonderful sermon, just wonderful. Everything you said applies to somebody I know. James doesn't want us applying the word to others. He doesn't want us just underlining and highlighting all the commands in the Bible. I mean, that's well and good to highlight those things. He wants us to apply the word to ourselves. He wants us to be doers, not just hearers. Do you want God's blessing in your life? If you do, then don't be a forgetful hearer of the word. Become an effectual doer, and you'll be blessed by God. Amen. How do we do that? Well, it takes work to study, doesn't it? It takes work to study things out. Don't just glance at things. Don't just take the preacher's word for things. Preacher studies, he studies hard, he does that for you. But he wants you to study too. And God wants you to study. And God wants you to look at the things and see whether they're so. And he wants you to be confirmed in your own heart. Not say, well, you know, I do this because the preacher said so. Or this is the way I believe because of what Brother Jerry said. No, he wants you to have in your heart and in your mind the things that are true because you have studied it out yourself. And you know that it's truth. And not only do you know it's truth, but you show it's truth by living it out in your life. I don't know what your need is tonight. I know we all could be better doers than just hearers. Amen. We all have room to work at in those areas. Sometimes even your pastor gets to a point where there's some things that I know, but you know, I could do a better job of applying. So, as I preach to you, understand that I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Let's be better doers of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this evening for the time that we've had looking at the Word of God. Lord, this admonition from James to be a certain kind of doer. A doer that is doing it from the heart. A doer that's not doing it to be seen. a doer that's not doing it to be repaid, but a doer that is looking to please you. Help us to be that kind of doer so that we may be blessed in that which we do. Lord, help us during the invitation time. You know the needs of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, we'll play a verse of invitation here. If you need to come, do business with God. The altars are open. I'm up front if you need any help.